Blog Talk Radio.
You feel like you know your man, but you may not know everything.
Of all the women living with HIV in the U.S., about 66% are African American.
And most of these women got HIV by having unprotected sex with a man. But more women are getting tested and looking out for themselves. To get a free HIV test, visit hivtest.org/takecharge or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. That's 1-800-232-4636. Take charge. Take the test. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. We're headed for 83,000 downloads of the podcast. I want to thank you for all your support, sharing with friends and family. I hope the shows have been helpful, the health shows, the politics shows, the art shows. So sometimes serious, sometimes comedy, sometimes fun. I think I've even cried in the show a couple times, depending on how passionate I was about the issue. So thank you, thank you, and thank you. I played that public service announcement earlier about women and HIV/AIDS because today is National Women and Girls HIV/AIDS Awareness Day, and I would encourage all of you to go get tested and also speak to your partners about getting tested. It's a touchy subject still. People don't like to talk about sexual matters, but this is your life at stake. And yes, there are drugs available to, you know, allow you to live longer, better quality of life. But trust me, it's not a role. It's not like a game, so to speak. It's not going to be free of problems, health problems, just because you take drugs for HIV/AIDS. But also this month, and the reason I'm having this show today is because it's National Nutrition Awareness Month, and I have a specialist with me because I definitely don't know everything about this topic. Her name is Angela Jin, and she's here as a spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and she works as an education coordinator and nutrition diabetes educator at University of Maryland Center for Diabetes and Endocrinology at Maryland General Hospital. She's also the owner of Real Talk, Real Food, and she's the founder of Mocha Foodies, a group of African-American nutrition professionals. They form to educate members of minority groups on healthy eating, as well as to mentor students at historically black colleges and universities who are studying dietetics. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I want to shout out to the Academy for providing and connecting us, providing me, you, and connecting us so that you can come on the show today. A whole month connected to nutrition. I mean, it should be a whole year, no?
It should be. You know, nutrition is a lifestyle, but we do celebrate National Nutrition Month in March. So to make sure it's more in the face of everybody, and it is the key to a healthy life, so the food that we eat.
So now let's talk about this a little bit. There's been a lot of changes in the dietary guidelines that the U.S. has put out, and now the guidelines are focusing a lot on fruits and vegetables and not as much, fat. In the past, it was more whole grains. Talk to me now about what exactly are the guidelines for the United States.
Well, you know, the guidelines are changing, forever changing. The reason why is because more research comes out to we see what a healthy diet is. But also we look at what Americans are faced with, and especially health conditions that are facing Americans. The priority is now fruits and vegetables, and it's always been a priority. However, we know that fruits and vegetables not only supply fiber, which have been shown to lower the risk of diabetes, also heart disease. Fiber has been known to help fight against certain cancers. So we know Americans are not meeting the mark for fruits and vegetables. Also, whole grains is another thing, making sure that half of the grains that you're taking in is actually whole grain. Another priority
Angela, let me just stop you for a second. When you say whole grains, I'm not sure if people actually know what that means. I mean, it's thrown around a lot, but explain what you mean whole. Is there half grain? I mean, talk to me about that.
Well,
seriously.
Yes, well, you know, whole grains can be a little confusing because there are whole grains and then there's dietary fiber. But when you're looking, simply placed, when I tell all my clients or patients, I say, you know what? What you're looking for is to see in the ingredients if it says whole wheat or whole corn. Those are whole grains. Sometimes you find a little stamp that may say whole grain on the front, but dietary and whole grain are two different things. They do two different things completely. Fiber keeps you more regular and also gets all the, actually it's life's broom, I say, it always gets rid of all the extra gunk. And then, and then whole grains, they actually can bind to especially bad cholesterol and help you lower your cholesterol naturally. So they're a combination, that duo of whole grain and fiber is so important. But not just looking for brown things. You're looking for things that are made of whole wheat flour. You're looking, making sure they're whole whole corn, or it says whole brown rice. It's not partially or redefined or re-enriched. Sometimes you'll see things that are enriched, but you're looking for things that start with whole.
And now let's talk about the eating of meat and fish or protein. How much of that should we intake?
Well, you know, the guidelines keep on saying, you know, before it was about 6 ounces, some people needed a day. The new guideline isn't to encourage more fish and seafood at least twice a week. And the reason why is because it is a lean protein source, and that's what we're really looking for. We know lean protein can keep you fuller longer, but also it usually is lower in saturated fat. And that's what your fish and seafood is. The key is how you have it prepared. So I'm not talking about fried fish and fried shrimp and lobster drawn in butter. I'm talking about things that are baked and broiled and grilled.
Really?
No, well, that's where the saturated fat comes in. That's where the saturated fat comes in. And also those fish sources are a great source of omega-3 fatty acids that really have a lot of great heart benefits.
Now, there's some concern, though, of eating too much fish, or also in terms of pollution in the ocean and the issue of mercury. Do you have any knowledge of that issue about mercury and fish and how people need to take care?
Well, you know, mercury is a concern, but it's a concern for special populations. And what I mean by that is it is children, women that are pregnant or lactating. Those are really the special populations that we watch out for the mercury intake. So the fish that are the common mercury fish would be tilefish, shark, swordfish. Those are the ones, the very large fish that can have more mercury. But things like tuna, also salmon, trout, herring, those things are very low, they're low in mercury. So, you know, you would really work with your registered dietitian or your healthcare provider if you feel that you're eating fish every day and you feel it's a concern about the mercury. We would just look over to see what type of fish you're taking in, and we can analyze how much mercury that is you're actually intaking.
Now let's talk about the sweet stuff, because you already told me we couldn't have any butter. But a lot of things have this high fructose corn syrup. Talk to me about, I'm going to say three things here, high fructose corn syrup, sugar, honey. Is one better than the other, one worse than the other, or are they all the same in the way your body processes them?
Well, I always say sugar is a sugar is a sugar, no matter what form it's in. Yes, honey does have a little bit of extra vitamins and minerals in it, but all your body recognizes it all the same. Sometimes high fructose corn syrup gets a bad rap, I would like to say, because it is believed to spike your blood sugar. It may cause increased hunger. But the studies really show that high fructose corn syrup, how your body tolerates high fructose corn syrup to white sugar, to honey, your body responds to it all the same.
Wow.
And the key here is, I always say, sugar has a lot of purpose in regarding baking, sometimes in cooking. But we want to make sure our beverages are free. And I always speak about drinking freely. Those are extra calories when we add extra honey to things and extra sugar. So we want to make sure we drink freely as much as possible so we can maintain a healthy weight.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, they don't drink water. I have friends who cannot stand the taste. They say, I can't drink water. They have to put the Crystal Light. And to me, that's disgusting. When I taste the Crystal Light in the water, I'm like, ew, what is this? You know, I have to drink the water because, and this is based on how I was raised, my parents, it was milk, juice, or water in our house.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't buy soda. The only time they bought soda is like somebody was coming over our house. And then it was the ginger ale thing.
And
sometimes I would get Coke, but that's only if I went to, you know, Nana and Papa's house, they would have Coca-Cola and very small amounts. But, you know, drinking soda, can you tell the audience the dangers of drinking soda and what it can do to your system?
Well, you know, there's tons of beverage options out there. But water, we know our body is, a great percent of our body is made up of water. We do need to replete our body, especially with water, because water is essential not only for your metabolism. So all my ladies that are, and gentlemen, that want to lose weight, if you're dehydrated, it is hard for you to lose weight. Your metabolism slows down. Not only that, water is essential for beautiful skin, beautiful hair, and also your nails to grow. You know, I had a difficult time, I guess, growing up liking water, but I had an aha moment one day. I didn't like it with ice. I didn't like it cold. I love it at room temperature.
The ice doesn't work for me.
It doesn't work
for me.
Yes, but you have to try different things and know, you know, I applaud your friends that are adding Crystal Light, but I would like for them to try just plain water on itself, even squeeze a little lime in it, slice some little cucumbers in the bottom of them, get them a different flavor. Soda adds a lot of extra calories when we drink regular soda. And my patients, especially that have diabetes, they don't realize that this soda, if I drink a 24-ounce soda, this has just as many carbs as a meal, and all it is liquid calories and liquid carbohydrates. If we were to leave those sodas alone, especially regular sodas, if we were to leave them alone, we could save the calories, the carbs. And I know it's, you know, diet soda can be controversial, but at least you're drinking freely, and that's what matters the most. That's what matters the most.
I was talking to you before we got on the air about how different countries have different types of guidelines. And, you know, we always are hearing about eating breakfast being so important. And I know when I went overseas, like I was in Italy, they don't really eat breakfast. I mean, they just, or if they eat, it's like a croissant and some espresso or, you know, some cafe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was also looking online here and when I was getting ready for the show. And in the UK, their guidelines from 2006, the first thing in their guidelines, like, the government says plenty of starchy foods such as rice, bread, pasta, potatoes. Now, they do put in parentheses choosing whole grain varieties when possible. So that's interesting. Like, that's their first bullet. And then it goes down to fruits and vegetables. What do you say about that? I also noticed about that option. I was looking at the United Nations website, the Food and Agriculture Organization for the United Nations, and for, like, South Africa, they had starchy foods up there at the top of the list also. Talk to me about this. Do you think this is good? Is it bad? Or is this because of where they are in the world? I mean, why would they have that at the top?
Well, you know, really, culturally, every culture is different. But grains and starches are really the base of most people around the world. That's the base of their diet. They always start the day with, some people start with rice. That's the first thing. Some is bread. But we all are like that. The one thing about what has adapted regarding Americans, I think we took the whole concept of starches and went a little crazy with it. And what I mean by that is it changed from not just a slice of whole wheat toast. It was a ginormous muffin in the morning, or, you know, a glazed, extra glazed donut. It just went a little too far. So a lot of the American guidelines have tried to cut back on, you know, pushing the grains pushing the starches so much, and really focusing on the foods that we're not eating enough of. Because we know.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we know Americans are getting enough of those starchy items with rice and the pasta and the bread. We're getting enough of those then, but we're not getting enough of the fruits and the vegetables.
Let's talk a little differences between men and women. What are some nutrients that women should be getting more of than, say, a man needs, and vice versa?
Okay, so women especially, during those younger ages when we're still having our menses, iron is very important. Whereas men, they don't need iron. And calcium is another nutrient that women need, along with folic acid, calcium and folic acid during the younger years, and also during childbearing years. And then once menopause hits, our iron needs drop, but our calcium and vitamin D needs increase, only because of the risk of osteoporosis. Now, men, on the other hand, you know, protein is one of the big things because they want to build their muscles, but also it helps them with their metabolism. And guys also need B vitamins, all the other essential vitamins that women need. They just don't need much iron, and they do need calcium. They still need calcium, but not nearly as much as women.
So how much should a woman pay, a 40-year-old woman, how much vitamin D would she need, a healthy, you know, no chronic illnesses or anything, need a vitamin D?
Well, you know, the needs have changed over the years. It's amazing because the current lab tests, they actually changed the requirements. So a lot of, especially African-American women, the darker complected you are, the more melanin in your skin, the more vitamin D you need. And it really works on, it's really individual, because you want to make sure you go to your doctor, you get your vitamin D level tested, and then once your doctor comes back with your results, they can say exactly how much you need. Generally, we'll say most people especially need about 400 IUs daily when they're in their 50s. Some women may take one pill that's 1,000 milligrams of vitamin D daily.
Mm-hmm.
It all depending on what your lab results.
The individual.
The individual.
And now, are all vitamins the same? Because I've noticed that all vitamins aren't the same. They don't have the same, you know, say vitamin C or this or that, iron, like you said, different things. Is there a particular brand, or how can you figure out which one is best for you? Is that just by going to your PCP and saying, you know, look, this is what I bought. Do you think this is going to meet my needs, or is there a particular brand that you suggest?
Well, I recommend, it's a little symbol that's called the USP stamp. That means it has been rigorously tested, and also the correct amount is in that pill form. That just is regarding safety, because supplements don't have strict guidelines as your medication. So supplements don't go through the Food and Drug Administration. It is an alternate it's alternate testing that they can do. Vitamins can come from all different places around the world. There are certain brands you want to look for. Just look for that USP, and then you talk to your healthcare provider. Say, do I really need this? Because I believe food actually contains all your essential vitamins and minerals to be healthy. But
you may or may not need to take the multivitamin.
You may not need to take it at all. I used to tease my grandfather. I was like, "Pop up, you're urinating all your money down the drain," because he ate really healthy, but he took a lot of multivitamins and supplements. But a multivitamin may be beneficial for someone that is on a restricted diet, or you can't meet your needs with food. So, but if you eat healthy, you can meet your needs. Food is your medicine.
Well, let's talk about that. When you talk about, well, that's a good thing that you mentioned about medicine, because that's where I was going, is there are some people who believe that the way you eat can affect, say, different types of illnesses. Say, for example, I was reading about, there's a woman, her name is Dr. Walls, W-A-H-L-S, and she talks about this hunter-gatherer diet. She was featured on TED.com. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the TED program, TED. And she was talking about she eats like 9 cups of fruits and vegetables a day, and like 3 cups of kale and 3 cups of other multicolored things. And what do you say about that type of diet? She feels as though that has helped her MS and other, she's gotten, you know, reports of it has helped other individuals with different types of illnesses because it boosts the mitochondria. Have you heard of this, and what do you think about food helping with different chronic illnesses other than diabetes that I know you work with closely?
Yeah, well, you know, I just got to tell you that maintaining your weight and a good diet, it's all about variety. Each color provides different vitamins and minerals. And we know that kale and butternut squash and beets and having yellow, you know, peppers and red peppers and tomatoes, they all supply different antioxidants. Food that is rich in antioxidants can fight and help protect you from certain diseases. We know this. And food has been used, food and herbs and spices have been used in ages for treatment and managing certain diseases. So it can be done.
I've heard that cinnamon is like a, it stops you from wanting to eat, being so hungry. Have you heard about that?
Well, I know the research that I have done and looked at regarding cinnamon, it does help your blood sugar, it prevents blood glucose spikes, especially 2 hours after you eat. So we know that that spike in your blood sugar, that also insinuates hunger. So when you have a really high spike, that makes you hungry. But cinnamon can actually make your cells more sensitive to the insulin you're producing. It's a great thing to use. I usually recommend about a teaspoon and a half a day.
Now, you know, there's this crazy thing that kids are doing with the cinnamon, like trying to swallow, like, cups of cinnamon or some crazy, that's not what you're suggesting, like you said. Just
oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yeah, there's
you
a,
actually
there's some video thing that my daughter told me about. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, they're trying to swallow, like, you know, huge cups or spoons of cinnamon, but it's going awry, and I'm not sure what the purpose of that is.
I know. I was going to say, I don't know what the purpose is that, but I'm saying just to sprinkle it on your oatmeal in the morning or to add it in some chili that you made. Make it a part of, you know, seasoning your food because of the health benefits.
Now, people will talk about, and you mentioned earlier in the show about this issue of carbohydrates. Should we be looking at our carbs, or should we be looking at the sugar? I mean, what should we be looking at on the labels? Because the labels can be a little confusing. On the Academy's website, I just want to mention to the people, because you are here because of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, there is a quick guide to nutrition labeling. But for those who may not be on the site, talk to us about, you know, what should we be focusing on? Is it the total carbs, or is it the sugar or the sodium?
Well, you know, each and every individual person has certain needs that they need to find. So some people are really about their blood pressure, so they focus on the sodium. Some people are really worried about the carbs, so they focus on the total carbohydrates. I always like to look. The first thing you look when you're looking at a label is you look at the serving size. Think proportion. Because portion size makes a big difference. So those cookies that you always love, look to see what the serving size is. And if it's only 2 cookies, that's how much you're supposed to eat. That label is for that serving size. Also, look at the calories. See exactly how many calories you're taking in for this lovely snack that you eat. If you're concerned with your weight, if you are conscious about your blood pressure and maybe you're on blood pressure medication or have a family history of hypertension, maybe look at the sodium. And for African Americans, anyone that's over 40 or anyone that has a history of hypertension, we would make sure that it's 1,500 milligrams or less a day. So that frozen meal that you're looking at, if it has 1,000 milligrams already, that's maybe something you need to put back on the shelf. So every little point on there has its purpose, but the first thing is looking at the portion size.
Yeah, that's because sometimes I remember the other day I got a salad. It was we have a vending machine and in the building where I work, and they had a whole, you know, like all these salads and everything. Great. So they even have spinach salads and all stuff. And they don't look that big, you know, but again, when I looked at the label, actually, it was 2 servings in there.
Yes.
And for me, I was like, oh, I would have just eaten the whole thing, even though it's salad, you know. And I think, like, the whole thing, if I ate the whole thing, it was like 360 calories. So
mm-hmm.
I don't consider that a lot because it was peppers and lettuce and had a little bit of cheese. It was like a little sectional thing. But, you know, I still didn't realize until that day, oh, my God, this is actually 2 servings. So
yes.
I agree with you.
It can be deceiving, and especially for things like soup, especially for frozen meals. You know, sometimes things have 2.5 servings in it. Even your favorite chips or pretzels. You
mm-hmm.
really want to look to the serving size to see how much should I really be eating for a moderate portion. And then you know what? You work with a registered dietitian or find somebody that is able to help you to understand what's important to you on that label.
Now, some people are going to some extremes like microbiotic and also vegan diets. I have several friends who are vegans, and they feel like that's like the best thing in their life. And I have one friend in particular, I know she raised her son that way, or family, you know, they follow that guideline. Do you see benefits in living that type of eating that way, or are they losing out on specific nutrients they need to get? I mean, for example, eating, you know, how do they get their protein, or, you know, if they're not eating meat? Talk to Williams about that a little bit.
Well, a vegan diet is something I see that's more and more on the rise. And, yes, I have friends, too, that are following a vegan lifestyle. I would say they have to be very careful because protein is important. They should be getting a lot of their protein from either soy or tofu sources, and tofu is a part of soy, beans,
mm-hmm.
and also some of the grains they're eating. So quinoa is another thing that they can get, is a complete protein that they can get, some of their essential vitamins. The only thing that they're missing, really, is the calcium if they remove the soy, if they don't have any fortified soy, and also B12. And now B12 works with folate and also helps you use your body use fatty acids. B12 is only really found in salmon, beef, yogurt, shrimp, and milk as good sources.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where supplementation may come into play. The, you know, people that are vegan may need to take a multivitamin to meet their needs for B12. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to bring up this issue. We only have a couple of minutes left of the issue of soy and young girls and having too much estrogen. Have you heard of that issue?
Yes. And, you know, the studies that are out, they're saying it goes back and forth. It's, you know, too much estrogen may cause certain cancers.
Mm-hmm.
Soy does not do that. The biggest thing is making sure that it's GMO-free soy, extra hormones are added to it. But I always say make moderation your mindset. So even if you're taking in soy, and it's usually a recommendation of at least 2 servings of soy a day,
mm-hmm.
2 to 3 servings of soy a day, just keep it in moderation.
Keep it in moderation.
Don't go soy crazy. But just, don't go soy crazy, but just make sure you keep it moderate.
Well, thank you so much, Angela. We only have about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank the Academy for connecting us. You have a wonderful Saturday, okay?
Oh, you too. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Okay, all right, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. My email is saturdays with joykeys at hotmail.com. I'll be giving away a Whole Foods gift card today, but you got to follow on Twitter or become a fan on Facebook to find out how to win, again, a Whole Foods gift card. Stay healthy. Have a wonderful Saturday.
You feel like you know your man, but you may not know everything.
Of all the women living with HIV in the U.S., about 66% are African American. And most of these women
got HIV by having unprotected sex with a man. But more women are getting tested and looking out for themselves. To get a free HIV test, visit HIVtest.org/take charge or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. That's 1-800-232-4636.
Take charge. Take the test. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.